Good morning, Shavuot Tov. It's a pleasure to be back, and I want to thank my good friend Rav Tzvi for inviting me to speak again. I'm going to share with you an idea that, as we approach Hanukkah, something to think about, something that has been on my mind for the last few years. Two Gemaras that seem to, on the surface, have very little to do with one another. When you analyze them more closely, and I had the opportunity to do a little color printing for you, so you could see there the two Gemaras that are on the right and the left side at the top of the page. Source number one and source number two, a Gemara in Shabbos and a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Start with the Gemara in Shabbos, which is of course, one of the main Gemaras that we look at when we come to the holiday, the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. Gemara in Shabbos, discussing many different of the halachos of Hanukkah. One of the more famous elements of discussion in the Gemara, machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we're going to start in source number one. Mahadrin mina mahadrin. We know that there are different levels of lighting the menorah. Nerish ubeso, the basic fulfillment of one candle per house, mahadrin, and then mahadrin mina mahadrin, the highest level. And it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel how to define this highest ideal level of performing the mitzvah of Chanukah. Beis Shammai omrim, yom rishon madlik shmona, mikan ve'elach poches v'holech. On the first night of Chanukah, we light eight candles. And as we go on through the days of Chanukah, we take away one candle, and we light less until the last day we light one candle. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel are of the opinion, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, Mikan Ve'elach Mosli V'Holech. On the first night we light one candle, and every night we add one more as the nights go on, Mosli V'Holech. I'm not going to get into the exact details of this machlokes, but just leave that on the side for one moment, that there is such a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as to the nature, as to the practice of how we light Hanukkah candles. The main source for all of Hanukkah is a few lines later in the Gemara, where the Gemara asks, "My Hanukkah, what is the celebration? What is this Hanukkah all about?" Tanur Rabbanan, a Braisa is quoted, "The Kafei BeKislev Yomei De Hanukkah, the days of Hanukkah, starting on the 25th day of Kislev." Tamniye inun are 8 days. Delo lemispeid behon, delo delahlis hanais behon. We don't have hespedim. We don't have fasting on these days. They're days of happiness and celebration. What is the historical nature of this holiday? So the Gemara goes on in the third line. Geshenichnesu yevanim leheichal timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. The Yevanim, the Hellenists, the Greeks, they came in inside the second holiest place in the Beis Hamikdash, the Heichal, right before, right in front of the Kodesh Kodashim, right in front of the holiest place, and they made impure all of the oil, all of the shemen that was in the Heichal. And this went on for some time, that this impurity existed inside of one of the holiest places in the world in Judaism. Uchshagavar Malchus Beis Chashmonaim and Nitzchum, and finally, when the Chashmonaim, they assembled themselves, and they got the strength to overcome and defeat the Greeks. Badku v'lo matzu el pach echad shel shemen she'emunach bechosamo shel kohen gadol. They were looking for any kind of oil source, and they could only find one jar, one flask of oil, munach bechosamo shel kohen gadol, which had the stamp of the kohen gadol on it. V'lo yavo el hadlig yom echad. There was only enough oil in there to last, as we all know, for one short day, for one short few hours. Nase bones, there was a miracle. V'iliku mimenu shmona yam. And this small flask of oil lasted, as we all know the story, and the celebration of Hanukkah for 8 days. L'shana acheres, 1 year later, kavam v'asam yam tovim ba'al avoda. They established those days as days of halal and odah. So we all know the story since we're young kids. The miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil. There's another Gemara, though, which I stumbled upon years ago, and it struck me as very similar to this Gemara, and I was trying to think about it for a long time, what it means, and how to connect it, and what does it mean for us as Jews today, celebrating these holidays in our times. So Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as we know, many of the Mishnayos, the beginning of Avodah Zarah, talk about the holidays that the idolatrous nations would keep and would establish, and we're not supposed to do business with them, and we're not supposed to support their holidays, support their businesses at certain times in the year, so it shouldn't look like we're joining in their festivities. So two of the holidays that were established, these are Roman holidays, beginning here in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Amar Avchanan Bar Rava, source number 2 on the left side, Kalenda. Kalenda is a holiday that is celebrated Ches Yamim Achar Tkufa, 8 days after the Tkufa. The Tkufa here is a reference to certain seasonal pattern of the year. So it's this time of the year, the Tkufa of Teves, which is the winter season. So 8 days after the season begins, the official season, there is a holiday called Kalenda. We'll get back to later what exactly that might refer to in today's times. Saturnura, also known in the Roman history as Saturnalia, 8 days before the Tkufa. So we're talking here about an 8-day holiday which was celebrated, this was to the Roman god Saturn. If anybody's ever been to Rome, the Roman Forum, there still stands today some of these places where people used to go to worship. To this day, these places are standing, and they used to celebrate these days. We'll get a little bit later what these holidays were about. And they have certain psukim that reference or hint to these holidays. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, this is one of the most fascinating stories you'll ever hear about Adam Harishon, and it connects in a very powerful way to Hanukkah and a very powerful way to our lives today. So Brisa says, after Adam Harishon sinned, I'm here in the fourth line. We know the world was created, according to most opinions, 25th of Tishrei. And from that time on, the days started to get dark. There was no daylight savings time in Adam Rishon's days. So it came the first weekend in November, and it just kept getting darker and darker and darker and darker. Amar, so Adam Rishon said, Oili. He says, Shema bishvil shesarachti. Maybe because of my sin. Adam thought that this was his punishment, that the world just kept getting darker and darker. Chashuch ba'adi v'chozer l'tov v'vo. He thought the world was going to go back to a place of darkness, to a place of confusion, of void, of emptiness. V'zohi misa sheniknes alay min shemaim. Adam said, this must be the punishment that God decided that I should have. Amad v'yashav ches yamim betanis v'tfilos. What did Adam do? He sat 8 days of fasting, of tefillah. He was scared. He didn't know what was happening. And then after 8 days, Kevan Shirat Kufas Teves, all of a sudden, there was a switch. V'ra yom shemarich v'holich. And the days started to get longer. And the sun started to come up a little bit earlier and set a little bit later. Amar minhago shel olam hu. So Adam realized, no, this is the seasonal pattern. He didn't know that because this is the beginning of creation. There was never a concept of there being a longer day since the first day of creation. This is the first day that there was more daylight than darkness. So Adam realized this must be nature. This must be how God runs the world. And he wanted to celebrate. So the Gemara says, halach v'asa shmona yamim tovim. He went and he made an 8-day holiday. L'shana Acheres, the next year, he established the 8-day holiday that he had the year before, Asan Le'elu Le'elu, Yamim Tovim, 8 days of celebration. Hu Kavam L'Shem Shemayim? He celebrated them L'Shem Shemayim for a godly purpose, with a godly intention. V'Heim Kavam L'Shem Avodas Kochav. The nations of the world establish these days for idolatrous practices of idolatry. Now, on the surface, you might say, wow, it sounds somewhat similar the way I presented it. 8 days. 8 days here, 8 days there. So if you look, I shared a few of the colors. You can just see the color pattern that I put. And that's why I placed on the right side in the Gemara and Shabbos the machlokas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting parallel. Beis Shammai's opinion when we light candles is we go from 8 to 1. Poche seholik. It's really darker. It's darker as the days go on. The parallel in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, when the days were getting darker and darker and darker. And then on the other hand, when the days were getting lighter, the Gemara says, Mosi v'holech by Beis Hillel. And in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, it says, Shemarich v'holech, that Adam saw that the days were getting brighter. And we see this also the 8 days, 8 days that we don't fast, the days of Chanukah, and the 8 days that were established as a holiday, and Adam Arishon also established 8 days as a holiday. It's not coincidental. When I read this Gemara, I said, there's got to be some deeper connection between these two ideas. So what is it about this strange celebration that Adam and Rishon had when the sun started to get brighter and the days started to get longer? What is it about this celebration that's connected to Hanukkah? So I want to suggest somewhat of a deep idea based on the Maharal, the bottom of the page. Source number 5. Just take a look before we look at the Maharal. There's one passage in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is in italics. It's right in the middle there, where Adam Arishon says about himself. He says, "What's happening around me? The world is getting darker." Chashuch ba'adi v'chozer l'tohu v'avohu. So this is reminiscent of a Pasuk, right at the beginning of creation, and a Medrash, source number 3 and source number 4. Right at the beginning of creation, we're told, V'ha'aretz ha'isa sov v'avo v'choshech al p'nei sahom. There was a certain amount of darkness, of confusion, of void, of uncertainty, of not being sure what was going to happen. V'ruach Elohim merachefes al p'nei ha'mayim. So the Gemara, the Medrash, Bereishis Rabbah, quotes a frightening passage explaining what these different elements of darkness, of confusion are. Each one of these corresponds to a different element of Galus, a different phase, a different stage in history of exile that we went through as Jewish people, and we continue to be in that part. Let's look in source number 4 on the left side. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Pasar Kari Begalus. He learned this pasuk in Bereishis as a reference to the 4 different galios, the 4 different exiles that we have experienced as Jewish people. The Haaretz Aisa Sohu refers to Bavel, the first exile. Vohu Zegalus Madai Persia, the second exile that we experienced. The Choshech Zegalus Yavam. Choshech represents the exile of Greece, of Greek wisdom, of Greek philosophy, of Greek sport, of Greek art that came into the world. Shehechshicha einehem shel Yisrael, that darkened the eyes of the Jewish people. Bigzeroseihen, they brought certain decrees on the Jewish people and they told them they have to live a certain way of life and they were supposed to suppress certain parts of the religion and not practice certain things, as we're told in various places by Chazal. Here it's a reference to Kisfu al Karen Ashor. They were told to write on the horn of the shore, She'ein lachem chelek b'Eli Yisrael, which is a very strange idea, which we're not going to have time to go into now. And then the 4th galus, which we're currently experiencing, al p'nei sahom, the galus mamlechas harasha, the Roman exile, the Western world that we live in, part of the galus that we continue to experience. So what's the deep connection here? I want to suggest, based on the Maharal in source number 5, Rabbi Yehuda Lowy is a little blurb there, who he was. If anybody's ever been to Prague, it's a statue of the Maharal in the town square. One of the deeper thinkers of Judaism. He shared something very, very significant about this, maybe on the surface not understood connection between these two Gemaras, but when you look at deeper, a very, very, very important connection. Says the Maharal, V'ra'ui hayazeh she'eh b'kafe b'kislev. Says, why is it that Chanukah begins on the 25th of Kislev? She'az ha'or yotze. This is the beginning in the seasons when the days start to get longer. Ki b'kafe be'elol nivra or ba'olam, and he goes through the whole calculation, seasonal calculation. The days start to get shorter. That was when the world was created. Bo nivra ha'adam. Sheni rabbi shishi shal yimim b'reishis. Third line. And the light was created at that point. Vayazeh b'kafe be'elol. And there are four different stages of light in the world as we go through the year, as we go through the seasons. And he goes through the whole thing. And then he gets to our time of the year in the fourth line. The first moment in the year when the days start to get longer, according to the Maharal's calculation, is on the 25th day of Kislev. He brias or olam bizman shehu shaveh hayomi malayla. The first moment of creation, there was 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. And as the days go into the year, they get shorter and shorter. Im kein, haschalas ha'or hu b'kafe b'kislev. She'az maskil or liskaber. That's the time when the light starts to battle away the darkness. Where the light starts to push away the darkness. Where the days start to get longer. And whereas people, we start to feel a little bit more revived. We start to feel a little bit more, Pesach is around the corner, Purim is around the corner. We're coming into, we've turned the corner, we've made it past the dark days. We can only imagine where we would be without daylight savings. It would still be dark outside. So he says in the last line here, Lofikach nasa hanes b'shemen, v'aya or b'kafe b'kislev. That's why the nes of Chanukah had to be with light. It had to be the idea of light. Avshalo haya shemen lali, even though they had nothing. They had a little jar, just a few drops of oil left. V'aya nes kol shmona kasher oso zman u'miyuchad la'schalas or. He says, that day of Kafe B'Kislev was set at some point in history for this moment. So I want to share with you that what I think Adam HaRishon was really struggling with, was really battling, was this idea of Choshech. When God created the world, He infused into the world certain powers that different nations took. Yavan, if anybody's ever studied Greek wisdom, ever looked at Greek art, Greek wisdom is all about the external, the beauty of the human body, the naked body. Every sculpture is a naked body because it was all about the external. It was never about the internal. The Maharal in other places in his discussions on Chanukah, he talks about Greek wisdom and Greek philosophy. And he talks about why is it that the Gemara says that the Greeks were only able to penetrate the Heichal. The Gemara says, we just read in source number one, that they went into the Heichal. What's the Heichal? The Heichal is a revealed place of the Beis Hamikdash. It's not the holiest place, it's almost the holiest place. It's near the holiest place. Why is it that they didn't go, they couldn't penetrate the Kodesh Kodeshim? Why couldn't they get to the holiest place of Judaism? Because Greek wisdom is not able to penetrate the idea of a deeper world. The Greeks did not believe in the spiritual world that we believe in. Not enough time to get into all these ideas right now. But this is the approach that the Maharal brings. So I want to suggest that these two Gemaras are very much connected. That the days that Adam established as a holiday are very, very powerful in history. Because what was the celebration all about? It was a celebration of bringing light into the world and pushing away darkness. valuing the power of light, the power of Torah. That was what Adam brought into the world. And he was battling this darkness, this Yavan, the power of Yavan, the allusion to Yavan that was already in the early stages of history. And that's exactly what we celebrate on Hanukkah, the holiday of lights, the power of the Hanukkah lights, what they can do in the middle of the night, in the darkest nights of the year. So these holidays, if you just turn the page, there's an interesting halachic discussion on the back side. These holidays, Kalenda, Saturna, have in the poskim been associated with some of the modern day holidays of other nations, other peoples in the society around us. It's interesting, different halachic questions. So if you do the math, the 25th day in the regular calendar, yeah, 8 days after that is New Year's, right? So this whole idea, some poskim say the source for many of the holidays that go on during this time of the year are right here in this Gemara. Now, those holidays were pagan holidays. So there's a lot of discussion whether the source of many of the holidays today, whether they come from pagan source, not pagan source. I'm not going to read through all this discussion right now, but it's just interesting just to show you what was discussed. The Trumas Hadeshen was asked about sending gifts. Whether a person, a lot of people work in businesses with non-Jewish people, are you allowed to send a New Year's gift? Are you allowed to give them a gift? Do you have to do it the day before? Do you have to try to not do it on the day of the holiday? Does it matter? Is the holiday even considered a religious holiday anymore? Whole discussion here. I'm not going to go into all the details, but just so you see that this is even a discussion. We'll just read one or two lines here. He asks a question at the top. Nitol is another name for Christmas. Or some say it's New Year's, it's called Nitol. It's different opinions. So people would send gifts on these days. Happy New Year, whatever it is. Should we be concerned for such a practice or not? Right. Good. So there's a lot of discussion on that as well. So if you look at the tshuva here, he brings down all the different issues, and he quotes this Gemara that we mentioned. And he mentions it's probably better to try to send the gift the day before. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Ramah brings down these halachos, he talks about whether we should be concerned that if we don't send the gifts, then what's it going to look like? Oh, we're avoiding your holidays. Maybe it won't look good. Mishum Eva. All sorts of different discussions. And at the end, he seems to say that we should try to be careful. We should try to be careful about these kinds of holidays and how we approach them. So we see that this Gemara in Avodah Zarah has its sources in Halakha as well. I just want to finish with trying to understand this idea of Adam HaRishon. Adam was dealing with Choshech. He was dealing with darkness, and he was at a point, a breaking point, where he felt that all was lost and all hope was gone. So when we think about Hanukkah, we always ask the question every year: what was the miracle of Hanukkah? Was it the war? Was it the battle that we won? Was it the miracle of the oil, that it lasted for so long? There's a different way to phrase the question. I put it here in the Kedushas Halevi, the Berditch of a Rebbe, in the second last box here in the bottom. There are many other miracles in Jewish history. Famous battles, famous wars that we won. Sisra and Sancheiriv, Neis Gadol, Sharatza Elis Baruch, Lasos Chizkiyahu and Mashiach. Even in that war, Chizkiyahu was slated to become the Mashiach. These are incredible moments in Jewish history, and we don't even mark them on our calendar. Listen to the words of the beautiful Kedushas Levi. Elahanes Shirao Avosenu, the fourth line. Aresha Nasu Shirao Avosenu, Nevim Akadmon, Vanchik Nesis Agdola, Sha'asa Gamkein Pu'ula B'maasenu Atov. It's the nes of Hanukkah. It's the nes of the Jewish spirit, of the never wanting to give up Jewish spirit. It was our actions. She'elu hachasad and miskala b'chol shana v'shana. If you notice, the Gemara says, when did they establish the holiday of Hanukkah? Shana acheres. They waited 1 year. Why did they wait a year? Why didn't they just start celebrating then? That's all the Sfarim say. They waited a year to see if the impact, if the energy of that original nes was still being carried on, was still being felt. And when they saw that people were still being revived from that moment, they said, we have to establish this as a holiday. Kedushas Levi says it was only by Hanukkah that people saw that that human element, that drive of the Jewish spirit that was pushing. Here I put it in the bold words. B'chol shana v'shana b'chol davar u'me'irim elu anisin l'fi godol ma'aseyam. It is based on the Jewish spirit. Asher asu akadmonim she'iskal atav v'asam yom tov. I was reminded of a story. Many stories like this in the camps. People who tried to keep holidays and keep mitzvos. So I just was looking for one of the stories. I just want to read one passage here. I found this in one of Rabbi Riskin's Hanukkah drashas. Just going to read one paragraph. It says, tales are told about the unusual bravery and diligence needed to light Hanukkah candles inside German concentration camps. But one tale that strikes close to the heart is about a 12-year-old boy in Auschwitz whose bar mitzvah was supposed to fall during the week that Hanukkah arrives. Since it was virtually impossible to perform any ritual commandments in the camps, this boy decided to save enough potato peels and crumbs, fashion them into makeshift candles which he would then kindle. When Hanukkah arrived and he lit his little candles, he wasn't simply celebrating the festival, but he was also celebrating his bar mitzvah through the actual performance of a mitzvah. But during one of the 8 nights, there was a surprise inspection. And before the bar mitzvah boy knew it, a German in a uniform ordered him to explain what these candles were supposed to mean. Defiantly, the boy announced it was a festival of lights, and the guard ordered him to extinguish the candles. Then the young boy, in a quiet voice, looked up and said, "Sir, we don't extinguish light. We bring light into the world." And for some unfathomable reason, the guard, instead of shooting the boy on the spot, turned around and walked away. Stories like this. The miracle of Hanukkah is the Jewish people. It's not the battle. It's not the oil. The miracle is us. The miracle is our ability to see darkness in the world and to bring light. To bring more light and to bring more light and to bring more light. To build families, to build yeshivas, to learn Torah together. That's pushing, that's battling the darkness of the world. That's battling Yavan, what Yavan tried to do. Look in the Ksav Sofer at the bottom. So says so beautifully. He's talking about the importance of Hishtadlus, that we have to put in our efforts. He says, Ki varecha ha-b'chol asher ta'aseh, she'aseh adam ma she'bekocho lasos, you should try to do everything you can. Mitzvah Hashem berchaso, Masa yadav, aval eino nosen yesh me'ayin. God doesn't create yesh me'ayin. There was only one time, something from nothing. That was the creation of the world. Ulamai benisa, God prefers us to put in the efforts. Ulakarav yoser lateva adif, it's better for us to try to live our lives and do the best we can. He says, that was the nes of Hanukkah. Beneros, what do we say? Rabim b'miyab me'atim, these kohanim, a bunch of priests sitting around the table and say, we're going to get up and we're going to try to... It's unfathomable that a small group of Jews could get up and beat the Greek Empire. It's unfathomable. That was the miracle of Hanukkah, the Jewish spirit. I want to finish with a piece from Rav Kook. I gave it to you in the English on the back page. So Rav Kook says, you can follow in the English. I want to read from the original in the Hebrew. He says, we're not going to read the whole thing, just one or two lines. He says at the beginning, quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, and in his very deep way of analyzing the words of Chazal, he says, Tumas Hashmanim, when the Yevanim came into the Heichal, when they came into the Beis HaMikdash and they made impure all of the oil. Hashchasas hamidos v'hadeos. This is the corruption and theological corruption, the moral corruption. Shabao l'machana Yisrael misibas hiskabros yivanim v'shultonam. Meaning, when the Gemara says that they came in and made impure the oil, it's symbolizing the impurity that they brought into the heart, into the soul of the Jewish people. He says, that was the greatest tsara, that was the greatest challenge that we ever faced. Hanogah said, Nefesh HaUma went to the very essence of who we are as a people. And he goes on to talk about how the Kohanim, right, the idea of the Kohanim coming in, who are the Kohanim? He says, every Jew is a Kohen. Every Jew has a little piece of Kohen inside of them. We all have the ability to purify the world and to purify everything around us. So he says it had to come through that power of purification. I just want to skip, if you skip to the back page, we'll finish with this line here. He talks about just a beautiful way of putting it. He says he would have imagined everything was gone. Everything was lost. Od Yoser, that's in the second paragraph there on page 88. Od Yoser, Amuk Balev, Shochein Or Neshama Yisraelit. He says that somewhere deep inside of the Jewish soul is an unextinguishable flame. The Pintaliyid, the inner Jew that can never be extinguished. Shesham Ganu Zakesha Apnimi Shalishi Yisraeli, Hofia. B'chol oz, b'chol ha'uma, that's able to shine, that's able to go forth, it's hidden inside. And then if you skip down to the next paragraph, he talks about this idea that the Gemara says that there was only a small little piece of oil left, a small few drops. Kim omna mapach, asher nishar b'katnusa, asher amuna tiagnuza rak b'lev, how could it be that such a small amount, that such a small, insignificant little drop of oil could have such a power? The whole world was dark. Yavan took away all our ability to feel that we can go forward, that we can battle that darkness. So he says, that's what it means. And the Gemara says that there was just a little bit of oil left that hadn't been tainted, that hadn't been defiled, that hadn't been corrupted. That inner part of the Jew that they couldn't reach, that Kodesh Kodashim, that holy, holy of holies, that they couldn't reach. He says, Zehu HaKoach HaNifla SheYesh B'Resha V'Or HaGanu Sh'af Opi SheYimtza Lefanav Darkechayim Hafuchim Mitochenu. Even though we find ways that we live in a society where everything is so opposite of what we believe. Deos hamispashtos haomdos mineged. Everything is the opposite of our belief system. So he says, Achine tegala yad Hashem ayadei aliluso imze bachar levanitzo tzakata nislaiv. That's the power. The miracle of Hanukkah is that inner essence of the Jew that can never be defiled. That in the darkest nights of history, in the darkest nights of the year, in the darkest times of our life, we have that shemen, we have that little drop, we have that little spark that can't be put out. That is the miracle of Hanukkah. That Adam HaRishon, right at the beginning of history, it was all dark around him. And he didn't know what to do. Choshech, tohu, vohu, he thought the world was coming to an end. All of a sudden there was light in the world. He said, this must be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He established those days at that point in history. That was the beginning. That was the root of Hanukkah. That was the root of the idea of battling darkness in the world. So as we approach Hanukkah, we should take advantage. Every year, I make it a point. I know many people here probably do this as well. Turn off your phones. Sit by the candles, sit with your family. There's so much energy, there's so much power that we can gain from the experience of Hanukkah. And what it can do to our lives. Lift us up. Give us chizik, give us hope. And through those days, we should be zocha for brightness, for or. We should be zocha through that experience of Hanukkah. We should be zocha to the true or of the coming of Mashiach. Amen.